Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, by on demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. This week, we'll get Lake of the Woods fishing reports, Devil's Lake fishing reports, also Ottertail County fishing reports, and find out just what size panfish you should consider keeping, what's best for the frying pan, what's best for replenishing the big fish population for bluegills and crappies. More, we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. This week's show brought to you by the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. That's coming up March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the State Fairgrounds. MNDeerClassic.com for more details. Also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods, MN.com. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods on their website. It's brought to you by the Destination Lake Winnebago Region. The Sturgeon Spectacular coming up in Fond du Lac, February 5th through the 10th. Jamie Dittman and myself will be over there trying to spear a sturgeon this year. So listen for updates right here on Sporting Journal Radio or at sportingjournalradio.com or on us on our Facebook page too, Sporting Journal Radio. Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort, also a sponsor of Sporting Journal Radio. Plan your trip to Devil's Lake. Fish for perch out of a snow bear at haybaleheights.com. And the new season of Prairie Sportsman kicks off this Sunday night. We're very excited about it. 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television. Now, if you get your fill of Prairie Sportsman on other public stations around the state of Minnesota, whether it's Lakeland Communications, Prairie Public, TPT Minnesota, the Minnesota Channel, all across the state shows Prairie Sportsman Tuesdays and Thursdays, like four times a day. Public station down in Austin, Minnesota. We're all over the state of Minnesota, but the new season is carried at different times. So if you're wondering why you don't see the new episode on your local PBS station right away this week, that's why. You will eventually. But if you get Pioneer Public Television, and if you have DirecTV or Dish Network, check out Channel 10 or just search your guide for Pioneer Public Television. Sunday night, 7:30, brand new episode. We go grouse hunting in central Minnesota with Hank Shaw, wild game chef Hank Shaw. Also Matt Soberg, who has been with Rough Grouse Society. He's been with me with Minnesota Sporting Journal, and he works with a number of magazines, Project Upland now, Covey Rise, and still with Rough Grouse Society magazine as well. Very cool episode. We go to Starbuck and check out the Dragon Boat Festival, the Dragon Boat races that take place up there. And then we also learn about creating habitat and what you can do to create habitat for the declining monarch population. That's this Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television. All right, the Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon is this weekend in Duluth. We'll be up there filming for an episode of Prairie Sportsman coming up later this year. As a matter of fact, we did some filming in Lakeville, Minnesota, of twins Carly and Chloe Beatty. They're 17-year-old gymnasts who compete nationally in gymnastics, but they've also had a love for racing sled dogs and just riding dog sleds and mushing. And they're going to take part in the Bear Grease this year for the first time. So we're going to cover them as they take part in their first Bear Grease race. And you'll be able to learn more coming during the new season of Prairie Sportsman later this spring. If you're heading out to Fond du Lac, by the way, for Lake Winnebago, the ice conditions had been a little rough. You know, we've had kind of a tough winter. There's a lot of current on that lake, so they were getting a little bit nervous. I got reports earlier this week that they've been letting four-wheelers out there again. They're making ice. They're putting out four-wheeler bridges. I know you still want to be very, very careful if you're going out there, but we've got a couple weeks, and we're going to be out there for sturgeon spearing. So we're watching the ice making carefully on Lake Winnebago, and hopefully our ice conditions are good. We've got some cold weather, of course, in the forecast, so hopefully we're making some more good ice out there on Winnebago. So we can get out there for the Sturgeon Spectacular. We're going to go out and try to spear the opener? The 9th, Saturday, February 9th, and the 10th, and then maybe the 11th. Hopefully get in there and get a chance to take a stab at a dinosaur. Coming up, Garrett Spear from Slab Seeker Fishing. He's next. We're going to talk panfish. We'll talk sled dogs. We'll talk big steelhead and more next on Sporting Journal Radio. The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Welcome back to the show. This is Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the network with your podcast app or by listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. We're going to talk to Garrett Sevier now from Slab Seeker Fishing here on the radio show. Garrett, how's winter treating you so far?
Boy, it's been good. I've been fishing and guiding a whole bunch. The cold weather is kind of shut down my big crappie reign of terror a little bit here in the last couple of days. It seems like if you get a warm day and it snows, the big crappies really go on the chew. We've still been catching a lot of packers. The bluegill bite's been kind of unscathed by the cold weather we've been having. So that's a good thing to do. But, you know, just those big 15-inch plus slabs have been a little tougher the past few days. We were on a bunch of those. But
I want to talk about fishing and where you were finding those fish and where you've been finding them since we've had this colder weather. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk to you this week because we're up in that Duluth Two Harbors area for the Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon and all the different races. And we're filming for Prairie Sportsman up here. And just how wild do things get up there this weekend, Garrett?
Boy, it's a pretty big deal up there. That's where I grew up. And I remember it used to cross just about 3 miles above my dad's house. So we'd always go up there and sit at the checkpoint and watch all the racers go through. It's a pretty big deal. A lot of people will be out and drinking hot cocoa and kind of cheering on the teams as they go through. It's pretty fun. I've always wanted to hire somebody to do some dog sled stuff in the boundary waters and go up there and chase lake trout.
Well, we went a couple of years ago with White Wilderness Dog Sled Adventures and the guys took us out and we filmed it for the last show. I was on Northland Outdoors and we went trout fishing, these stream trout, some of these stock stream trout lakes to catch rainbows and brookies. And we took a dog sled in, I think about 6 miles into the woods or something like that to this lake where we were going to fish. And I was with Ben Putnam and we talked about this and got the whole thing planned. And then, I figured, well, I don't know how it's going to work. I'm sure the camera guy and I will just get dumped in the, you know, in the sled and get trucked out there. Well, no, I show up and they're like, all right, here's your team of dogs. Here's your sled. We're going to teach you how to run this thing. So really, I get my own sled. I get my own dogs. Like, oh yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
And that's anything better than that. That's a dream come true.
It was way cool. And that's what they do there. They offer these sled dog tours and you can go fishing or you can just run sled dogs. You can go into, they've got some yurts you can go into and take these tours. So they teach you how to drive your own dog sled and you get to experience that. And it was still one of the coolest things I've gotten to do. So it's tough and the weather is cold and I really admire these mushers that are taking part in this race this weekend, Garrett.
I do too. They really have to brave the elements out there without the luxury of a fish trap to crawl into and crank the heater on.
Yeah, man. Well, we're going to be up there filming for Prairie Sportsman. So watch. It's a very cool story about a couple of young racers. They're twin girls from the Twin Cities area, and they're 17 years old, and they're coming up to take part in their first race here. But they've been training for quite a long time. So a really cool story coming up this season on Prairie Sportsman, which is starting this Sunday night, by the way, 7:30 p.m. Pioneer Public Television. And if you go to our Facebook page, Prairie Sportsman Facebook page, you'll find out all about the new episodes of the season and watch some of the segments from last season. And Garrett, I just shared last week our segment where we went steelhead fishing up on the North Shore.
I seen that. That was a lot of fun. Are we going to do that again this year? We don't even have to have cameras if you're up for going.
I don't see why not. I mean, that again, that was one of my favorite episodes last season too. One of the coolest things. And it was, we caught some fish. We experienced some tough weather that we overcame adversity.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, the adventure level was pretty high that day just because we started out with kind of normal flow conditions, and by the time we were off the river it was like flood stage, blown out where people didn't fish the next 2 days. So yeah, we were kind of there for it all, like normal conditions. The water got higher and it got higher and it got higher.
Yeah.
And it was a fun trip. We found some fish, got some good footage, and
yeah,
you it's know, always an adventure up there.
It is, and when you're carrying, you know, thousands of dollars worth of camera gear on your back.
that was an interesting twist to it, is we've done those trips a lot of times before, but yeah, never with that expensive of stuff that can't get wet. So that did add another level of anxiety to it for sure.
Complete. Cause I mean, we had already gathered, I remember crossing at one point, and you can see it in the episode. Cause my knees get a little wobbly and you see me look back at the camera and smile a little bit because I mean, it wasn't the easiest crossing. There's no question. It was tough crossing. I didn't have any felt on the bottom of my waders. So, you know, my feet were a little bit slippery crossing, but we had so much good footage on these cameras that, you know, if we fell in the water, we're going to get wet. Maybe you get swept down a little bit, which potentially could get dangerous, of course, but I didn't want to lose the footage.
Right.
Man.
Don't get any gear wet that's not waterproof either.
Right.
You know, we had another show that we filmed up there, and he wanted to put his drone up. And, you know, I thought it was a cool idea at first, and then the more I thought about it, this thing's up in the air. I'm like, is that thing waterproof? And he said, no, why? I was like, boy, it's going to be, you know, and so we had to do a kind of a running catch, which is pretty scary with those blades coming at you, that you got to grab that thing in the air. But, you know, there was no place to put it down without getting it wet on the river. Oof. So, yeah, that's having expensive camera gear on a steelhead trip is always, you know, Lance was a trooper. I don't know if he would have pulled that show off. He was a pretty hardcore extreme cameraman that you had for that.
Lance Tangen. Yeah, Lance Tangen was our videographer that trip. And thankfully, Lance is a fly fisherman. He spent a lot of time in those streams and rivers like that. So he knows the gig. And last time I filmed with him prior to that one was another North Shore trip, and he dumped his drone in the water. He actually lost a drone. So here I am back with this camera guy who lost an expensive piece of equipment in the water last time I filmed with him, and we're crossing these raging rivers trying not to dump gear in the water. So it got a little exciting. This is Sporting Journal Radio talking about North Shore fishing with Garrett Sevier from Slab Seeker Fishing. And I wanted to talk about Otter Tail County Panfish, of course, here on the show. But I mean, we could sit and talk about the North Shore the entire show today. But let's move on. Let's talk about ice fishing.
Absolutely. That's what I've been doing lately, is ice fishing for big giant panfish in Otter Tail Lakes country at Panfish Paradise.
Yeah, I saw some pretty big crappies. You mentioned it at the beginning of the interview, Garrett, but you've been on some big fish lately.
Unbelievable. You know, last year to catch, 15s with clients we were doing, and that was pretty special. And this year, we've had multiple groups land fish just shy of 16 inches. So we've had some big, big crappies that were caught this year. So fantastic. And we've been releasing those fish, you know, to try to protect the resource and harvesting the smaller, more abundant fish that we're catching a lot of.
We've talked about that with you a lot on this show, and we probably more about bluegills and about the size of bluegill you want to keep. Run through that again, and then also talk about the size of crappies that you like to keep.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's more important with bluegills just because they're so slow and slow growing and old here in Minnesota. We're fishing about an inch a year. But, with bluegills, it's really important that everybody's putting those fish back that are, you know, especially over 10 inches. But, you know, in my boat or on the ice with me, it's more like over 9 inches. I'm a member of the DNR panfish work group here in Minnesota, and we're just really trying to get that message out there, a selective harvest on panfish, just to continue to have big panfish in the future. Because a couple of things those big bluegills do is the big bluegills will run those smaller fish off of the spawning nest and not let them spawn. And the data has really shown that when a bluegill spawns too young, they don't focus on growing anymore. That's how you see stunted populations. And then the other piece of the puzzle that's a little bit less understood that they're doing a lot of research in Minnesota and Wisconsin on right now is genetics and how important the genetics are. Like when you talk about Florida strain largemouth bass that grow much larger than any other largemouth bass, how important are the genetics of those big giant bluegills? And, I think there's definitely a piece there, too, that those males pass on their genes, and that's how those lakes continue to put out those giant 11-inch-plus bluegills that you don't see in a lot of places in the country.
Yeah, so what's your rule of thumb, then, for bluegills and crappies as far as putting them back or keeping them?
You know, and I've had customers that wanted to keep a single big fish for a mount, and that's their license, and they're absolutely allowed to do that. But I really encourage replicas. And, you know, for dinner fish, what we're really trying to catch is, those 8-inch bluegills and limit everybody out on those 8-inch bluegills, which is like the perfect size for good meat yield and a nice dinner. And then for crappies, we're trying to keep, crappies under 12 inches to eat.
Where are you finding those fish? I know we've had this cold weather that's moved in.
The weeds are kind of starting to die off in Lakes Country, and so you're starting to see more of those fish push out into the basin area. So this is the time of year when those green weeds that have been so good for you all season are going to start to dry up if they haven't already for you. Just the amount of snow on the ice and the available light we're getting now, those weeds are dying off. So look for fish suspended over the basin. I bought a Garmin Panoptix unit this year that saved me a lot of cutting. Oh boy, it's a back saver. Last year we just have to drill until we got within striking distance of these fish where I can scan 100 feet.
Wow.
360 degrees now, and so we're cutting a lot less holes in those basin areas to find those fish. But when it's warm, those big crappies will be high up in the water column, be way above the other fish you're seeing on your graphs, and they've been eating almost anything. So if you see any big marks that are high up, make sure you pull up to those. Typically those are those big crappies, and they're up there for one thing, and that's to eat. Now that it's been cold, it's pushed those big crappies down a little, and they're on the bottom, and they'll come and look at stuff with this high pressure and kind of go back down. Crappies, I think, are far more affected by high pressure than, for sure bluegills and maybe even walleyes. I mean, they're very sensitive to high pressure in the winter, so.
I've noticed that. Our main lake here where I live is mainly a crappie lake. And when the pressure gets real high, I think twice about even going out there.
For sure. With crappies, I think they're really sensitive to that. And I sure notice it more in the winter even. It's like they're more affected by it in the winter than they even are in the spring. You get some spring cold fronts and some storms. And when they're kind of in pre-spawn mode, it's like you can still get them to eat. But boy, in the winter, when you get these high pressure systems, they'll mark 1,000 fish to get a few of them to eat. It gets a little bit trickier. But we've been doing more bluegills here the last couple of days. And, I was talking to you a little bit before we were on the radio about Monday when it snowed. It was really interesting to note that Monday when we got that snow squall that came in, the fish just bit like crazy. Unbelievable how the crappies cooperated, because it's like we got a break and all that high pressure, and then everything decided it was gonna gorge when it had the opportunity. And I think what that high pressure does is it puts pressure on their stomachs and just makes them feel like they're full.
I heard it.
They don't move around nearly as much.
I heard it described one time as like a big giant hand pushing the ice down, like pushing the lake down towards the fish, basically.
That's a really good analogy. I think you're spot on with that. And I think that puts pressure on their stomachs, and so they go down to the bottom and feel like they don't need to cruise and eat everything in sight like they do when it's warmer. But, you know, if you can hit those windows now, and it's a lot of times I think the days when it snows, when it's warm enough to snow, those are the days when you're really going to light them up. So if you have, you know, a flexible enough schedule and you can kind of pick your days. Unfortunately, the weekends lately have been when we've been really getting this high pressure and cold post-storm type of stuff.
So when they get a little finicky like that, the pressure's a little high, do you go smaller with your presentation then?
You know, a couple of different things. You can go either smaller, you know, like a 3-millimeter tungsten jig with a single Eurolarva, or you can go really super big and try to create a, you know, like an aggression response out of them and go to like a buckshot rattle spoon with a minnow head on it. And either can produce... I've seen either, but, you know, kind of go away from the norm and go either really big or really small. I think sometimes with those spoons, too, if you make enough commotion, they'll just grab a hold of it because it irritates them and they're sick of it. You know, when you think about it, they don't. That's my great theory, when you think about it, is they don't have hands. They can't just grab it with their hands and say, stop it. You know, the only way they can grab it is with their mouth.
I keep it down over there.
Right, that's exactly. And so we've had some luck with that too. You know, just make a whole big stink down there with like a buckshot rattle spoon. And you know, the crappies have huge mouths. You know, and so there's no reason they can't handle a bait like that. We catch a lot of them on big presentations every year.
Garrett Spear, Slab Seeker Fishing, with us here on Sporting Journal Radio. Obviously, you're guiding around the Otter Tail Lakes country there. If people want to come out and do some fishing with you, can they get out there this winter yet?
Oh, absolutely. Got a lot of dates available still, especially if you're open to doing some weekday stuff.
And how do they reach you?
Phone number is 320-428-5174. Otherwise, you can check out my website. It's SlabSeekerFishing.com.
SlabSeekerFishing.com. Garrett, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate having me. Brett, thanks.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey culling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast in iTunes or wherever you subscribe to podcasts with your podcasts app
or wherever. All right, we're going to head up to Devil's Lake now, North Dakota, check in with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, where Lucas, I've been following along on the Facebook page, and man, there's been a lot of full tables with perch and walleye on them lately.
Hey, yeah, Brett, fishing has really kind of come full circle. It's turning out to be a fantastic year. We're getting real decent numbers. You know, I think you talked to Curtis last week, and half limits, and but half limits of perch. You know, when you get four or five guys, that's a heck of a table of fish for sure.
Yeah. Well, we should mention, I mean, a half limit is still 10 fish. That's 10 perch.
Right. Right. And then you add on your five walleyes to that. And, a half limit is probably all anybody needs anyway. So, some days we're getting full limits or close to full limits. Every day is a little different, but it's turning out to be a real great season for us.
Lucas, talk about the history. Just let's briefly talk about limits for just a minute. Let's talk about the history of perch limits on Devil's Lake, because a couple of years ago they changed a little bit, didn't they?
Well, at one point in time, there wasn't any limits on the perch, and that was a bad thing for our fishery. I would have been still pretty young back then, but I just hear stories of people coming up from out of state or probably even locals too, and they were catching whole pickup loads of fish, and that was not a good thing for us. It really took a toll on the population, and it's taken a long time to get back, and I feel like the limits are probably right where they should be for now, at least.
Sure. Yeah, well, and you don't always get limits every day, of course. You get some weather that might screw up fishing a little bit. You can still scratch some out, which I know you guys do up there. And what was it, on Tuesday or something? Maybe you guys got a few more inches of snow up there?
Yeah, we caught about another 6 inches of snow. And typically what we found, we were out fishing in the storm, and that was our best bite during the storm. And then it slowed down a little bit, and then now we have another weather front coming in today, and the report is that there's going to be some good looking pictures tonight again. But that weather is seems like when the weather is on top of us, that seems to be our best fishing.
That's what we were just talking about, that when I was talking to Garrett before you came on the show here, that we had snow Monday afternoon here in Minnesota, and that's when his best fishing took place. And then after the storm rolled through, then the fish got, he was fishing panfish more, crappies more, and they get a little bit more tight-lipped, I think, when you get that post-storm high pressure. He noticed it too. When it was snowing, the fishing really picked up.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed that all year, and so we kind of hope for more storms.
Well, and it's nice because you're in you're in the Snow Bear, so you can get wherever you need to go. You got GPSs in there; you don't have to worry about getting lost in a snowstorm or anything like that. Obviously, if it's dangerous, you're not going to go out there, but you don't run into a lot of dangerous situations in one of those.
No, we can handle the cold weather. We can handle the wind. That's what we're going to get. Coming in tonight, they're talking about 40, 50 mile an hour winds and some ground blizzard conditions. But everybody is here that is going out tomorrow, so that's good. Everybody came a little bit earlier, and everybody's here, and we're going to go out and try to beat up on them tomorrow again.
Yeah, and we're recording this on Wednesday, of course, so if anybody's listening right now and the weather's a little bit different, you're wondering. We're recording this Wednesday with Lucas Mertens at Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. So last time we talked, Lucas, I think you had guys coming in. Well, last week when we had Curtis on, I know you had guys from Iowa. You getting guys traveling from warmer destinations and coming up and then experiencing a North Dakota winter?
Yeah, we're still hearing that there's not great ice to the south and to the east of us. We got guys here from Wyoming right now. We have guys here from South Dakota. We have guys here from Minnesota. And we do have some guys from Bismarck here right now. So we got all kinds of territories there covered.
All right. And still kind of the same gig where you're catching walleyes in the mornings and evenings and then finding perch. Are they schooling up?
It seems like the schools are maybe getting a little bit bigger. I know Curtis talked about pods of fish, and I've talked about pods and just finding the right, you know, pod that will bite. But there may be, you know, they're not the huge schools like that we're used to, but I think they're starting to group up a little bit.
Sure. Lucas Mertens, Haybale Heights Campground Resort, Devil's Lake. How much snow do you think there is on the ice up there now?
Oh, I suppose on the level, anywhere from 3 inches up to a foot on the bigger drifts. There's still some truck traffic. They're able to get around with some decent tires and things like that. But I know they're talking some more snow for us at the end of this week. And that could, they're talking maybe another 6 inches. And that could potentially shut, you know, the vehicle traffic down for the most part. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
I was wondering about that because I drove by a small lake here in western Minnesota the other day. And I couldn't believe just how big the drifts were out there on that lake. And just being able to get, I mean, I don't think you'd take a wheeler or truck or anything, or just even walking out there through it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, they were talking about, they hit a snowdrift the other day in the Snow Bear, and the guy in the back ended up in the lap of Curtis. So definitely some bumps out there.
All right. Well, people want to book a trip in the Snow Bear at Haybale Heights with you yet this winter, or start making plans for summer fishing or spring fishing. Do you guys guide all the way through the spring when open water hits?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Curtis will be out there in his boat pretty much any day he can be out there. He loves the fish.
Because season never closes out there for you guys. So
Correct.
People want to book a trip, start thinking ahead, or get out there yet this winter. I still want to try to get up there yet this winter. Still have a lot of winter left. What should they do to try to book a trip with you?
Yeah, they can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can look at our Facebook page, or they could go on our website, haybaleheights.com. And that was a good point. There is still a lot of winter left, so if guys are thinking they want to come up, they should plan a trip and come on up here and check it out.
Yep, you got lodging on site there for them, and then guided Snow Bear trips, haybaleheights.com. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, Lucas Mertens, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
All right, we got more fishing reports on the way. We'll check in with Joe Henry here in a couple of minutes, but right now we're going to head over to the west side, stay on the west side of the Red River Valley to check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, get the latest in the outdoor world in North Dakota.
The 2019 North Dakota Earth Day Patch Contest is open. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The Game and Fish annual Earth Day Awareness Campaign is accepting entries for design of a 2019 Earth Day patch. North Dakota students ages 6 through 18 are eligible to participate, and the deadline to submit entries is March 15th. The contest has three age categories, 6 through 9, 10 through 13, and 14 through 18. Each winner will receive a pair of binoculars. The final patch design will be chosen from the three winners. The winning design will be used on a patch given to members of Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, 4-H clubs, and any school participating in Earth Day cleanup projects on state-owned or managed lands in North Dakota in April and May. The patch should incorporate some aspect of Earth Day, celebrated April 22nd, or keeping North Dakota clean. It must be round and 3 inches in diameter. Only one entry per person is allowed. Earth Day contest rules and entry forms are available on the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov. For more information, contact Pat Losbike by email at ndgf@nd.gov or call 701-328-6332. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Visit FTL.com for more information. That's FTL.com.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the network. Going to head up to the very cold northern parts of Minnesota to Lake of the Woods and check in with Joe Henry. And Joe, it's funny. You know, we get down into the 30s below zero, and all of a sudden you're driving south.
You know, recently we've had some 31 below air temps up at Lake of the Woods. And of course, that sets us up real nice for good thick ice and obviously March ice fishing for walleyes and pike. But, you know, I'm heading to Chicago right now. And, one of the things we do at Lake of the Woods Tourism is communicate with people from outside our region who might have questions or interest to come to Lake of the Woods. And, you know, the Chicagoland's fishing show is coming up this weekend, and it's out of Schaumburg, Illinois, and Lake of the Woods Tourism will have a booth there. I'm giving a couple of seminars on walleye fishing, and I've met a lot of great people down in Illinois, and you know, we have a very strong following to our area from that Illinois region.
And what kind of seminars are you going to be doing down there, Joe?
Talking walleye fishing. So, you know, one of them is talking about specifically crawler harnesses. It's called Crawler Harnesses A to Z. And, the reason I put that seminar together is that crawler harnesses, you know, early on I was fishing the amateur side of the professional walleye trail with an interest of possibly flipping the switch and going pro. And, you know, while I was doing all this and fishing some tournaments and things, I noticed how many anglers, pro anglers, people that really knew their business, were using crawler harnesses all around the Midwest, on rivers, on lakes, on, you know, stained water, clear water, whatever the case might be. So I started using crawler harnesses more back up in Minnesota, and my goodness, my catch rate of walleyes went way up. And I've really I've done a lot of work with them and perfected it. And so that's one seminar. And then, you know, the other one is basically, you know, some special techniques for walleye success. And, you know, really there we're talking more about a few different techniques and, more importantly, the nuances to some of those techniques that'll put a lot more walleyes in the boat, regardless of where you fish.
Speaking about where you fish, when you get down into areas like Illinois and you start talking to people down there about ice fishing, I mean, Illinois and Chicago, that's not really that far south, but there's got to be some guys that look at you a little wide-eyed when you talk about driving out on a lake.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think, I like this for this sports show, for instance, we're talking really more open water fishing. However, it does carry over because a question does come up. And, you know, when I talk to them about, you know, driving full size pickups and, you know, double and triple axle sweeper fish houses out, and talk about the igloo bar on the ice that you can actually fish out of, it's, you know, over 1,000 square feet. I mean, things like that, it just kind of blows their mind because, you know, they're used to ice that you know, hopefully you can walk out on it. Maybe you can take an ATV out on a good year, and it's just a whole different animal. But you know, you think about it, in some cases, it's a whole different animal from southern Minnesota to the Lake of the Woods.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Speaking of the Igloo Bar, I bet they're serving a lot of coffee and Kahlua up there right now, or coffee and Bailey's, or something warm at the bar right now, Joe.
You know, I think at that Igloo Bar, Brett, I think they serve a lot of everything.
Yeah, probably, but
I don't think it really matters.
It's been cold, and what kind of ice and what kind of snow conditions do you have on Lake of the Woods right now?
Yeah, so, you know, our ice conditions are, right around that, in most areas where we're fishing and driving and such, you know, anywhere from, you know, approaching that 2 foot mark and over in some cases. And, you know, it just kind of depends upon where, but it's real good ice. I mean, we got, you know, our people that provide ice roads, you know, they're pretty much open to, full size pickups and full size, pull behind, fish houses, if that's your story. Otherwise, you know, obviously our sleeper fish houses have been out for a long, long time. So our ice conditions are fantastic. And, you know, the important thing about that too, is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize we have an extended ice fishing season up at Lake of the Woods because we're border water with Canada and we have the colder temps. So to give an example, in most of the state of Minnesota, you have to have your fish houses off the ice, by the end of February. Well, up at Lake of the Woods, we can keep our big fish houses out all the way through March 31st. And on top of that, you know, our walleye season doesn't close until, you know, April 14th, and our pike season never closes. So that's one of the reasons that March is such an awesome month for ice fishing up at Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, you hear about people still having their houses out up on Lake of the Woods a lot of times when down you get down further in southern Minnesota and some of the ice is disappearing sometimes, Joe.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. You know, you'll be heading up to Lake of the Woods to go stay in a sleeper fish house in March, and you're driving by ponds in southern Minnesota that maybe busted open a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but you know, I'll tell you the other thing that's weird is that, you know, you'll be at the end of March, and you get some people that are driving to the lake to go stay in a sleeper fish house overnight or stay with the resort and just do the day house thing. And then on the other end, east of Vidette, you got people with boats that are dropping their boats into the Rainy River.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I saw, this is probably a while ago now, but I saw people still trying to drag boats across ice to get to open water on the Rainy River. I can't believe how often people do that up there.
Oh yeah. You know, and it's kind of that's risk for reward. And I don't know that, you know, you better know what you're doing if you're right. Dragging your little 14 or 16 foot boat across river ice that's melting to get to the open channel where there's current. I mean, so you really, you know, I don't encourage that. People certainly do it, but boy, you better know what you're doing. You better have the safety precautions and everything else. It's dangerous. It happens, you know, but, you know, really, really more than that, just it's just kind of cool that, you know, when that river busts open, you know, those accesses get open and then it's game on. You're getting your big boats out in that river. And, you know, as you know, we've done it. I mean, you know, you get all these big walleyes from Lake of the Woods, from the big basin. You get a good number of those fish that will, they call their spawning area Lake, you know, Rainy River, and all these walleyes from the lake getting constricted in that river. Man, what a fun deal. You're splashing your boat for the first time of the year. You're catching great big walleyes out of the rain. You know, you're talking about fish that could be 12, 13 pounds. Mm-hmm. On top of it, mm-hmm. You got a chance for 100 fish day.
Oh, man, you're speaking my language right now, Joe, because we are planning on coming up there this spring and bringing the Prairie Sportsman cameras along and getting out there with Jamie Dittman once again. I'm so excited. I know last year in the spring, I didn't get up there last spring, but I know a lot of people did, and it was unbelievable. I heard from some people, another show, I think it was Keith Cavias with The Next Bite, and my buddy Jake Flau is up there filming, and I heard from both of them that it was like the best walleye show they've ever filmed was on the Rainy River last year.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. I knew when Keith was up there, and he put a whooping on those fish. I mean, he just had them dialed in, and you know, a lot of fish in the river. Of course, Keith is a world-class angler, and they really did well. And I talked to a lot of guys that did well, not as good as Keith did, but I mean, you know, they were jigging them, they were pulling cranks. And, you know, that's one of those things where you're going to catch some fish when you go up there. If you time it right, and you just got to be up there, and then it just happens. But, you know, if the timing works out, you can really, really have an incredible day.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, is on his way to Chicago for a sports show down there this weekend. We're talking Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River, of course. And Joe, you know, this weekend is also the Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon up there in northeastern Minnesota. We're going to be up there filming. And we talk about bombers, you talk about snowmobiles, and of course, wheelers and truck traffic and trucks with tracks and all sorts of different transportation on Lake of the Woods. Joe, have you seen guys go out there with dog sleds?
No, you know, I haven't. And, you know, we really don't have the whole dog sled thing up at Lake of the Woods. But I tell you what, I've never been on a dog sled. Have you?
I have. And I'm the wheels are turning. I'm seeing a niche, a Lake of the Woods niche, new business opportunity.
We'd have to make sure they have different trails and the snowmobilers and the bombers and, you know, certainly some of the big ice roads. But no, I tell you, that is certainly a neat sport. And, you know, there's areas of Lake of the Woods and Lake of the Woods County, even, you know, through the woods that, my goodness, would be ideal for that. You know, take a look at that, the snowmobile trails that we were on up at the Northwest Angle. I mean, talk about how great that would be for sled dogs.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many trails up there and how cool it is. And I don't know what the laws and regulations are regarding snowmobile trails and groom trails and what you can do and this and that and whatever. But I know there's a lot of dog sled trails that snowmobiles will share the same trail for whatever reason. Or when we filmed an episode of Northland Outdoors with White Wilderness Dog Sled Adventures in northeastern Minnesota there a couple years ago. And we went trout fishing by dog sled and we went back into the woods. And I went for stream trout in this, stocked lake for rainbows and brookies. It was unbelievable, Joe. And but we filmed with I got to run my own dog sled with my own team of dogs. I didn't expect that to happen, and I got to do that. And that's part of what they do there. They offer they teach you how to do it, and they offer the opportunity for you to run your own dog sled. And then we filmed it with our camera guy on a snowmobile following behind us. So,
oh, interesting. Well, you know, and the one thing that I marvel over is, you know, when you watch some of those reality shows from Alaska with the sled dogs, just how much care it takes and how much these handlers care for their dogs, feeding them, making sure they're watered, making sure they have shelter, and just all the training that goes on. There's, like anything in life, there's so much behind the scenes that happens.
Yeah, and I think they have, when we were up there a few years ago anyway, I think they had somewhere around 100 dogs. So imagine being around 100 high-energy sled dogs that are, you know, when they get excited, they all start barking and running in circles. They've got their little dog box that they're staked next to. You know, they stay outside all winter. And it's also amazing that they can sit inside those insulated dog boxes and stay warm all winter long. Those dogs are tough dogs, Joe.
Yeah, they're not only tough, but I mean, I tell you, those huskies, I mean, my brother used to have huskies when I was younger, and I'll tell you, you know, the old story was I taking that dog for a walk, or was she taking me for a walk? Because, boy, you have not felt power until you felt a husky pull you.
That's right. Well, Joe Henry, have a good time in Chicago. I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio. And if people want to book a trip to Lake of the Woods this winter, this spring, next summer, what should they do?
You bet. Check out our Lake of the Woods Tourism website, and that web address is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, of course, thanks to all my guests this week, and thanks to my sponsors, Prairie Sportsman, new season Sunday night, 7:30, Pioneer Public, Lake of the Woods Tourism, also Hay Bay Heights Campground and Resort, Destination Lake Winnebago Region, the Sturgeon Spectacular, February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, and of course, the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the State Fairgrounds. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.